God, we just thank you again, Lord, for today, for the body of Christ, for each one that's here. Lord, you're so good to us. We appreciate you. We appreciate all you do, Lord, that you are faithful. God, even when we're not, you're still faithful. But God, we want to be faithful back. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found steady till the end, Lord. We want to be overcomers, Lord. We know we've got to put our trust in you and you alone, because you are the overcomer. And we can do all things, not just some things, but all things according to God's will, right? In Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are with us, Lord, and you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. For God, you have given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, guess what today is? We set a day aside every year, you know, to celebrate Mother's Day. And, you know, I hope that we don't wait for one day a year, amen, to honor our moms, if your mom is around, amen. It's no mystery, but moms are very important. What an impact a mother can make on one's life, you know. You know, Bruce is really good about calling. Our mom is still around, and he's good at calling and keeping touch with them. I'm kind of the wayward son, I think, because it's not that I intentionally do that, but my mind is wrapped around what I'm doing so often that I forget. I don't want to be like that. I want to make sure that I am letting my mom know how much I appreciate her. You know, even if you can on a daily basis, it's good to always say, even to your wife, amen, guys, tell your wife how much you appreciate her, you know, and all the things that they do, or the ladies do, and things that we can't do. You know, I can't be a mom, not a good mom. I may be a Mr. Mom sometimes, but I'm not a good Mr. Mom, amen. You can't replace a mother, really. They have a very important role, and it's... It can make you or break you. And the words that moms speak, amen, over their children are very powerful. And they can influence their future even. We can speak blessings or we can speak cursings over others. And that goes for any of us, amen. And whatever we're yielding ourselves to, whatever we're giving voice to, we got to make sure we're listening to the right voice, amen, and speaking what the Lord is speaking. So, Deuteronomy 5:16, this is one of the commandments. It's not a suggestion, by the way, and it hasn't changed. It says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long. So there's a promise, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So it's a promise here of what? Long life and happiness. And Ephesians 6:2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And again, what is the promise? That it may be well, verse 3, with you, and you may live long on the earth. How many are going to start honoring your mother more often? There's a promise to that. Most mothers deserve to be honored, would you agree? They have been given a tremendous responsibility. Someone once said, the man may be the head of the home, but the wife or mother is the heart. And Abraham Lincoln said, no man is poor who has a godly mother. You know, he was born in poor conditions, but he had a godly mother, so he was rich because of that. Amen. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So often parents are turning the training of their children over to the system, to the school system, or to even children's church and Sunday school. And yet it's really not the school's responsibility, amen, to raise your children and to teach them what is true. Because if you're relying on the school system to teach your children what's true, come on, somebody. They're going to produce a mess, and that's exactly what's happening. The enemy has gotten into the curriculum, hasn't he, of our schools, and they're teaching things to our children that they should not. And we've drifted away from the ABCs and reading, writing, and arithmetic. Amen? And now it's a social indoctrination and all kinds of other things that we don't need to get into today that are being taught to our children. But you know what, guys? I do believe in prayer in school, but the bottom line is this. Who's leading the prayer? And what are they praying? So, it's not the school's responsibility, even, amen, to teach our children how to pray. We can yell and scream at them because they took prayer out of the school, but if you keep prayer in the home, amen, and you pray over your children every day, I would encourage you to pray over your children before you send them off to school. Lay your hand upon their head and say, Lord, I want you to bless my child this day. Bless them and keep them. Cause your face to shine them upon them. Be gracious unto them. Lord, give them your peace, your protection. Amen. Protect them from the adversary. But you decree over them what you know God would want you to decree over them. Because God has given you and I the authorization as parents under the authority of the Lord, amen, to invoke blessings upon our children that can protect them, that can guard their hearts and their minds through their day, and let them be the world changers in their schools. Let them go in and not be influenced by the school system, but let them go in and influence others, amen, in a godly way. So we can't relinquish all this. I'm all for children's church, amen, but it's not enough. When our kids are getting bombarded day by day with all the stuff, all the demonic stuff, amen, we've got to be keeping our children close to our hearts, amen, praying over them, blessing them, and instructing them in the ways of the Lord so that they can grow up with discernment and know what is true and what is false. God gave our children to us as a gift. It's a responsibility that we've been given, a stewardship, really. And to train up our children in the way they should go. And the way they should go is the way of the Lord. And I know it says there's a promise in that. If you do so, even though they may wander, they may stray, they may stumble along the way. And they will. But when they're old, they won't depart from it. They will come back. They will remember. And so we need to deposit the right things in our children, you know. Think of your child as like fertile soil that's open and receptive to seed. You know, a child is very pliable. A child is very open for instruction. That's why they're always saying, Mommy, why? Mommy, why? Right? They go through the why period. And they're asking, they're wanting to learn. Or what is this? What is this? So they're very open. And because of that, they're very vulnerable. And of course, the devil knows that too. And that's why he's working so hard to invest the wrong things into our children at a young age. But if the Christian parents would take responsibility for their own children, amen, and teach them, train them in the way they should go, teach them how to pray, teach them how to get a hold of God, teach them how to be filled and remain topped off in the Holy Spirit every day so that when they go to their school, amen, they're not being influenced adversely. They're able to overcome by the power of God, the way that God empowers us to overcome. So we need to deposit the right things, and we need to ask the question, what am I depositing? What have I deposited in my daughter? I haven't always deposited good things in my daughter. Amen. Because of some things that were deposited in me and some patterns sometimes that get repeated, you know. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes when we see our kids doing things that we don't like about us and they're doing the same thing, you know, right? How many of us growing up saying, I'll never do that. You saw your parents do something or say something. I'll never treat my kids like that. I'll never talk to them that way. And one day you find yourself doing it and say, well, no. Sound just like my dad, sound just like my mom, whatever, you know. We see that, it grieves us because we see the flaws, we see the clay, you know, in our own lives. But God is good and God is able to restore and renew minds, amen. And it's amazing how the Word of God is effective, amen, and transforming minds, hallelujah. The washing of the water of the Word, hallelujah. Word washing, if you will. Amen. We need to be washed in the Word of God. Hallelujah. So if somebody speaks a curse, you counter that with a blessing. Amen. So you use the Word of God. Amen. And if people are going to say things about our kids as they're growing up from school. How many here got things said about you growing up? Amen? Things that you said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Not. Right? That wasn't true. We were just saying that because it was hurting. We were just trying to blow it off. And then if we're not careful, we'll end up being enslaved to the opinions of what others say and try to mold to whatever, you know, conform to whatever mold they want to put us in, rather than conforming to the image of Christ and being an example of a godly man or woman. Amen. And being the influencer, not the influencee. Is that a word? Influencee? Okay. Rosie says yes. So, okay. You know, for example, Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Remember, it talks about, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. So we need to be sowing the right things. Words are like seeds, and they're powerful. They'll produce eventually a harvest of some type, whether that be good or bad. You know, a mother that's constantly yelling or cursing or nagging and versus the mother who encourages and disciplines and blesses and builds up her children to be godly men and women. See, there's a difference, isn't there? And I can tell you, I've known personally somebody who I witnessed the mother of this child constantly yelling at this child, yelling and nagging and calling him names and things. And, you know, he grew up to be a troublemaker, you know, in and out of jail. And, you know, and because those words were destructive that were being spoken over him, you know, the good news is that there's redemption through Christ. Amen. There's healing and there's reconciliation to the Lord. And God is able to restore a person through the power of his word. Amen. And in the working of the Holy Spirit in one's life. But guys, if people don't know that there's an escape, if they don't know there's a way out of the prison that they may find themselves in, because the prison that they're in has been formed by the words that have been spoken over their life, and it's been brought destruction. Anybody besides myself, been harmed by people's words? And you start sometimes, even if people call you stupid long enough, all of a sudden you can start to believe you're stupid if you accept that. You know? Sometimes girls will call each other ugly. Oh, you're ugly, you're ugly. And if they're hearing that long enough, they start to entertain that. There's power in those words. And the girl can start to believe that she's ugly when she may be beautiful. I'm blown away by some of the beautiful young ladies, amen, who think that they're ugly. Because who told you were ugly? And you know, it's more than just physical appearance, isn't it? Well, it's the beauty of the heart. Hallelujah. Some of the most beautiful people you meet are not made that maybe all that outwardly attractive, except that the beauty of Christ comes through and they're beautiful people. You don't care about the clay. You're seeing the substance of God, amen, coming through and the beauty of Christ coming through in their lives. And you can say, man, she's got a beautiful spirit. I just like being, how many like being around people that have a beautiful spirit? Yeah. So, a good example of this, of course, and I've used this before, but it's something good to go back to, is Paul when he was instructing Timothy, you know, and he was charging him, amen, to preach the word, you know, and to do what God had invested in him to do. And so he says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he says, I call, in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, Timothy, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. So he had a heritage, didn't he? He had an investment by grandmother and mother into his life when he was young. And so Paul was just bringing attention to this. And he says, I'm persuaded it's in you also. And so, sowing seeds into our children, amen, especially when they're young. You know, I know some people, they don't discipline their kids until they're like 15 years old. They decide, well, it's time to start disciplining my kid. Too late. Come on, right? You got to start young. If you love your kids, you discipline them. Amen? And you start young. Because what you're doing is you're teaching them how to have self-control. Amen? Discipline produces self-control. I know if I do that, it's going to hurt. So like I used to tell my dad I'd hurt my finger or something. I said, Dad, it hurts when I do that. He says, well, don't do that. Thanks. I won't do that. But, you know, it does. We have to be careful what we're investing, what we're saying, what we're speaking. Not only over our children, but over our mate, over one another. Amen. So here, Paul is telling Timothy, you've been blessed. You've had a grandmother and a mother that were godly, and they've invested in you. And I know that that investment was not in vain, because it was producing godly character in this young man that was being dispatched, amen, into the ministry. And because of that investment, Timothy was able to lead many souls to God, and he made many disciples for Jesus. Amen. So train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. So, yeah. So what we want to do is we want to empower our kids to reach their destiny. We want to empower them. And the best thing you can sow, and some of the best things you can sow, but primarily is the Word of God. Sow the truth into them. Amen? Truth that it'll arm them for the battle that they face in life against darkness, and it can keep them free even from demonic infestation. Truth is like a roadmap to help them reach their destiny in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, it says, three things will last forever, and that is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And it's the greatest of all the graces because love is not self-centered. Now, the love of the world is, you know, it's what can I get out of it? It's not true love. True agape or godly love is unselfish love. Self-sacrificial love. So the greatest is of these graces is love, because it's not self-centered, but it's other-centered. So we need to be sowing love, amen, into our children. We need to be sacrificing for our kids. That means we need to turn off some things or deny ourselves some things so that we can have the quality time with our children to invest in their lives while we have them, amen. And you know what? It doesn't say when you get a certain age that you quit honoring your mother, by the way. It never says to stop honoring your mother, does it? So another one is, of course, is faith, right? Faith, right? We need to teach our children about the faithfulness of God and that he can be trusted and that God will take care of us and that we're not to live our lives in worry or in fear, but that all things are possible through God. And we need to do that by demonstration in our lives, by being an example. When things go sour, things go south in our lives, we have difficult times. What we do, how we respond to these things is sending a message to our children. They are watching how we handle pressure. They're watching how we handle conflict. Financial problems, whatever it might be, our children are watching. Do we truly have faith in God? Are we being an example to them by saying we're not going to worry about these things? Instead, we're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. Amen. And we're going to believe God for an outcome that is favorable because our Father wants to take care of his kids. Just like you and I want to take care of our kids, so our Heavenly Father wants to take care of us. Do you believe that? God wants to take care of you, and God wants you to trust him. He doesn't want you to trust your employer. He doesn't want you to trust the government. He wants you to trust him, that he's going to be the one to supply all your need. God can make water come from what? A rock. Amen? He can rain manna down from heaven. He can create something out of nothing because it's who he is. And if he's a my father, a father's responsibility is to provide, amen, and to protect. So I can trust, amen, that my father's going to provide and he's going to protect. And so whatever we're doing, our responses to the things that happen in life, you know, are very important because, again, our children are listening. They're learning. But not only for our children, but guys, we are to be an example to one another as well. Amen. In the body of Christ. By the way we respond to things. You know, I boast, and I can do it. You can't boast on yourself, but I can boast on Phil and Elva. You know, anybody that knows them knows what they've been through together. You know, the difficulties, especially the physical problems they've had over and over and over and over again since I've known you. It's just been one thing after another. But every time God has brought you through, every time there's been the provision of grace for you to overcome and get back on your feet and be here today. And there was times we were wondering, man, I don't know if Phil's going to be with us much longer. But we say, you know what, we're going to pray and we're going to believe God to restore your health. And God, over and over again, He's restored your health. And I commend you, brother, because this is a guy who has demonstrated, and his wife too, both of them, have demonstrated faithfulness. There's been times when they can barely get out of bed, but they'll come to church. They'll come to fellowship. Amen. They don't want to miss it. They're kind of like, man, I don't want to miss out. And when they do miss out, they're like, man, what happened? Oh, man, I wish I could have come. I wish I could have been there. I love that about them. That's faithfulness. Amen. That's demonstrated faithfulness. And you guys are an example. You know, I want to be like you when I grow up. Because I want to be like Jesus, amen? And we're being like Jesus when we are faithful in tribulation, patient in tribulation, difficulty. Now, what is faith? You guys know what faith is. It's the confidence, Hebrews 11:1, that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Because we're believing God, you see. Are you rejoicing in hope? Or are you worrying and complaining when things happen? How many know that our children need to watch us, amen, respond correctly to situations? You know, I hate it sometimes, and I've been caught up in it occasionally to where I complain about things, and sometimes Jesus will have to get on me, jump all over me. You know, because all of a sudden I find myself, and without realizing that, yeah, you know, you're right. I got to quit complaining. Instead, I got to start rejoicing and praising God and thanking God. Amen. In all things, give thanks, it says. It didn't say complain, it says give thanks. Know that God is going to make a way for me. He's going to make a way for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. You're not going to be able to figure out everything that happens. And there are things that happen in your life that are beyond your control. So why worry about something that we have no control over? Right? Instead, we just say, God, I give it to you. And say, together, Lord, what are we going to do together to deal with this situation? How are we going to walk through this? Sometimes you have to walk through the water. You can't hop over it. But when you walk through the waters, He says, I will be with you. Sometimes we say, well, if I'll just buy a boat and I'll take a boat across. And now you're in debt because you couldn't afford the boat. But we so love, amen? We so faith in our children and we so hope. You know, Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. It's not by my own willpower or ability that I stand. It's by the grace of God. And I receive the grace of God by confidence in God's provision of grace, that He will supply what I have need of on a daily basis. That's why we pray, Lord, I pray Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth, right? And give us this day our daily bread. My God shall supply all my need. When I don't know how or when, you know, I just trust God and I know that God's going to come through. Amen, Bruce. There's been many times you and I have got together and we said, you know what? We refuse to get into worry about anything. We'll just join together and we'll pray. And guess what? God takes care of it. Because God wants to provide for you. God wants to take care of you. God wants to protect you. But you've got to trust Him for it. Amen? Just come to Him and put your confidence in Him. And get your eyes off self. Amen? And get your eyes on Jesus. He's the supplier. And you'll get out of that place of worry and fear and anxiety. You know, I hear Christians sometimes say, well, I've got anxiety. Why? Why are you allowing anxiety The Bible says that if we will keep our mind on Him, He will keep us in His perfect peace. Amen? And it's the peace of God. It says, be anxious. Philippians says what? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God. And the peace of God that passes what? Will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So instead of fretting, worrying, complaining, pray. And thank God that He's taking care of it. Amen? Thanking God in advance is faith that God's going to take care of it. In all things, give thanks. Thank God for the trial, knowing that the trial is going to produce perseverance. Amen? It's going to work in your life for good, but know that God's going to walk with you through this thing. Amen? And He's going to develop your character. You know, as you walk with someone, or if you ever run with somebody that's maybe a stronger runner than you are, you know, at first you may be lagging behind, but, you know, you can catch up eventually. You can get stronger, and you can catch up, and you can run in it with them. And the same thing is true with the Lord. The Lord wants us to yoke up together with Him, doesn't He? He knows that we're going to be dragging our feet and we're going to kind of be going around for the ride. But well, the Lord wants you to build up your spiritual muscles, if you will, to become strong in Him so that you're no longer lagging behind, but you're walking with Him through life. Amen. Take my yoke upon you, He said. Learn of me. Know that Jesus is with you. He has the grace that you need. When we're weak, He's strong. If we're not able, He's able. I just call on Him and I thank God. Lord, thank you for taking care of this problem. And He will. And when the devil comes along and says, ain't going to happen, it's too big, it's too impossible, you say, shut up. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to take care of me. Thank you, God, that you're going to provide for me. Amen. Thank you, God, that you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And you are a good Father. Hallelujah. And I trust you. And we say that to Him. Amen. Because what you're doing is agreeing with what is true about God. You got to agree with God. You got to be in agreement with Him, with His character, His nature, who He is, who He says He is. How many know that God doesn't bless a mess? He waits for us to get out of our funk, out of our complaining, out of our misery, whatever, or our pity party sometimes. Anybody beside myself had a pity party? How many know that God's not going to move in your pity party? He's going to move when you get into faith. Amen. You get into confidence that God's going to take care of it. And I got to quit fretting over this thing that I have no control over. And I got to quit feeling sorry for myself. Instead, thank God that He's trying to do something good in my life. That these trials are not there to destroy me, but to make me strong. But God will help me through it. So you sow hope into your children, sow hope into your family, sow hope into one another. Amen. What is hope? It means to anticipate or expect with pleasure and confidence. To anticipate or expect with pleasure and confidence. So verse 2 again, though whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and what? Rejoice. With an expectation, amen, of good. Good to come. When you're hopeful about something, it means I'm believing something good is on its way. I remember a song when I was a new believer. It was something good is bound to happen. It was called, Or the Devil Wouldn't Be Working Overtime. And you know, that song helped me a lot of times because when stuff was going on, I was just like, something good is on its way. Something good is bound to happen. I've discovered sometimes, how many beside myself have discovered sometimes when you're really going through a rough season in your life, that on the other side of that, there's an extreme blessing. That God has something for you. Once you come through that, it's like, wow. And I was just talking to somebody the other day. In fact, my friend Chris, who's been through a lot recently. And he says, you know what? He says, I wouldn't want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. Because of the fruit that is produced in his life. And he says, and the Lord is more powerful in my life and more near and dear to me than ever before. And he says, there's been good fruit as a result of this trial. Amen. Trust the Lord. He's not unaware of what you face, what you go through, but He wants to be with you and walk through it with you. So we enjoy a place of favor in God as a believer. And this favor, God, is by His grace. And the reason why we are favored is because we are accepted in Christ. And the Father welcomes us as sons and daughters. We're no longer slaves to sin. But in Christ, we have hope for the future. How many remember that song, "Because He Lives"? I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because He lives. Hallelujah. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He is with me, no matter, man may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient. Amen. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Hallelujah. You know, another thing we need to be sowing into our kids is responsibility and a sense of a good work ethic. You know, I thank God for my dad and even my mom. They both worked hard and they taught us kids the value, you know, of work and that it's not a bad thing. You know, as a matter of fact, the first man and woman, amen, were put to work in the garden, and work was a pleasurable thing prior, amen, to the fall. But even today, work can give you a sense of satisfaction when you've had to work and earn something, amen. And so my folks were good at that. They were hard working and they taught us. Sometimes we didn't like it, you know, when they were giving us responsibilities, and especially that garbage, taking that garbage out. Oh. And Bruce and I can attest to, we had a few knockdown dragouts over washing dishes even, you know, so yeah. But they put us to work. My dad had us cutting wood and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of. And they used to grow gardens, and they weren't little gardens. They were big gardens. So we would be out there, and we'd be rotor tilling, and we'd be. And my dad was kind of like old school. So when we first got to Vermont, we moved from Connecticut to Vermont, and we got this place. It was in the country. And so he had one of those two-man saws. Have you ever seen those things? With the loggers back in the 1800s used to use. They happened to have an old rusty one up on the wall. So my dad, being frugal, so, oh, this will be good for the boys. It'll help build them up. You try cutting cords of wood with a two-man saw. And sometimes Bruce and I would be like, right? So you ain't pulling your part. You ain't doing your part, but... But then, you know, my dad was good about rewarding us, though. And he'd give us an allowance, and he'd do things for us because we, you know, if we did a good job, he'd let us know. He'd reward us sometimes, you know, for that. Not every time, because we need to understand what it is also to volunteer and also to give without expectation of return. Amen. So these are things that we sow by example. I know we're living in an age where many people are growing up sitting on a couch playing video games. And then understanding that somebody had to sweat to provide that video game even, or buy that television, or provide a roof over your head. Amen. And then we don't want entitlement children, do we? We want children to understand there's a value, amen, in hard work. So we produce that by example. We live that, and we also teach our children to do likewise. Amen. Mothers, here's for you. How many mothers here are praying for loved ones, even maybe children, wayward sons and daughters? Yeah. Never give up. Never give up on your kids. My brother and I were knuckleheads back in the day, you know, and we got into trouble, you know, and I didn't walk with the Lord all my life. And I know that I had a praying mother, though, you know, and her prayers were effective. And she prayed for us. Somebody was praying. And I was one of those kids, like, I'd come home from school or wherever I was, and the police would be in our driveway. And I was being accused of things I didn't even do. It's like, I wasn't... Somebody saw you throwing rocks through this... What was it? A factory. These factory windows. And it's no. But I just had, you know, I had that look, of course, my long hair, you know, I had that, my freak flag flying out, you know. So they got, he's automatically, he just looks like one of them, you know. But somebody, you know, and I had people speak over to my life. I even had teachers that cursed me and said, you're just a nobody. You'll never amount to anything. And, you know, or you're stupid, you know. And so I started to just kind of, you know, take that to heart and kind of believe some of that stuff. And I said, oh, what the heck, you know, there's no future. I'm just going to kind of live from point A to point B, from hand to mouth, and party my way. Check out early, probably, you know. I expected that. I didn't care about the future. I didn't have any hope for the future. So I just kind of partied my way. Just tried to live in a temporary feel-good. Stay high as long as I could for as long as I could. And whatever it took to get the money to get high. And it never satisfied me, really. And then it gets to a place where even that becomes stale. It becomes routine and unfulfilling. And then, of course, you start to pay the piper, right? The repercussions of that. The sowing is so important. What you sow into your children. Teachers have destroyed children simply by things they've said over their lives. So we want to bless and not curse. We want to build up. Amen. But what I was trying to say, guys, is that never give up on the people you love. Amen. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for them. I've seen it over and over again where people that I was about ready to throw the towel in on, I was just about ready to say it's over, it's, you know, and God intervenes, God works, amen, and brings them back to their senses. Train up a child in the way they should go and when they're old. And you know, no matter what, there's no perfect parents in here, amen. All parents make mistakes. And it's not necessarily intentional, but a lot of times we make mistakes because we don't know any better. We're blinded by sin. So there has to be grace, there has to be forgiveness, there has to be reconciliation. There has to be an understanding that all of us, you know, we're once separated from God. And we did whatever we thought was best. And sometimes what we thought was best was not good. But now we have a new beginning, a brand new start in Christ Jesus. Amen. The old things have passed away. Everything's become new. We don't have to look back with regret. We can thank God that's under the blood. And I have a future and a hope that is secure in Him. We're going somewhere and we're going somewhere together. Amen. And like the Marine said, no man left behind. I'm going to reach out my hand to my fellow man and I'm going to help him up. Amen. If he falls down in the ditch, I'm not going to kick him while he's down. I'm going to help him up. Amen. I'm going to pray for him and bless him and thank God, amen, that he's back into the family, back into the fold, back into the body. Hallelujah. How many know that God wants people in the body of Christ? He wants us together. He wants us gathering. Amen. So pray for one another. And be careful about putting people on a guilt trip. Amen. Because they don't come to church or they miss church. That never works. It doesn't have a positive effect. Amen. You don't want people coming to church because they're trying to please you because you made them feel guilty. But you want them coming to church because their heart is right with God and they want to be here. Amen. So we want to pray for that God will change hearts, and He will. Amen. And sometimes you just can't be here. That's okay too. We don't need to judge people. Amen. Sometimes I know I get stuff going on in my head and wondering where people are at or what they're doing. You know? And the enemy can get in there sometimes. He can start giving you all kinds of scenarios in your head. How many have ever been there? You start worrying about or thinking about something, and all of a sudden you're getting all these ideas, and then you find out it was none of that. That should be a lesson to us. Amen? Commit them to God. Don't worry about them. Give them to God. Pray for God to keep them, to protect them. He's able to. Now here, mothers, you ready for this? Psalms 126:5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I love this. It's a promise not to become weary, Galatians 6:9, in well-doing. Amen. Keep on sowing the right seeds. Amen. And you sow seeds with faith, with an expectation, amen, even with hope of good things to come. So you sow in hope, knowing that your prayers are not in vain. Your tears are not in vain. God works as we pray. He wants us to pray. God wants to work on our behalf. He wants to intervene in our situation. But he waits for us to come to him. Amen. And get into agreement with what he wants. And pray for his kingdom to come and will to be done on the earth, even in our loved ones. So mothers, no matter how long you've been praying for your loved ones, I know my parents prayed a long time. Amen. But God got a hold of me one day in my bedroom, shook me up really good. And I thank God that he did. Woke me up. God gave me a... You ever see those Rolodex things where you get those pictures where you put a bunch of pictures and you flip them and all of a sudden it's all these scenes are, yeah. It's like all of a sudden for the first time I'm starting to see myself as God saw me. Amen. And what a mess, what a wretch I was. Prior to that, I was blaming everybody else for my problems. God, by his mercy, allowed me to see myself. And it broke me. It broke me, brought me to repentance, godly sorrow that produced repentance towards him and a changed heart. I came out of my bedroom a new creation. Hallelujah. And I know somebody was praying. I know somebody was lifting me up before the throne. So moms, you have an important position in the home. Amen. You're the heart of the home. You can make it or break it. Now here's some instructions. Titus 2 and verse 3, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women. That means bring correction, gentle correction to the young women, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet or self-controlled, chaste, pure, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, and that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Here's the instructions, amen? And we need some older ladies, amen, teaching the younger ladies, taking them under their wing and instructing them, amen? The Lord is the supplier of all that we have need of, the grace for the great task that you've been given. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, God is able to make all grace abound to you, all grace, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may have, what? An abundance for every good work. God is not stingy. God gives you more than you need. He wants your cup to overflow. He doesn't want you to have a half full cup, amen? Or a half empty. He wants you to be an overflowing cup. So as you're trusting in him, as you lean on him, as you depend on him, draw from the provision of his grace and you'll be successful. And listen, not every time do we see instant results. So you got to be faithful even when you're not seeing anything with your eyes. Amen? Or any immediate results. When you go out to plant a garden, amen, you're not going to see instant results. You go out and you plant the seed. The fallow ground has to be broken up, and then you plant with what? An expectation of a harvest. That someday what you're planting, the right kind of seed, is going to come up. If you're planting an apple, you're not going to get an orange, right? You know, I planted apple seeds in that, amen, in that soil. So here we go. Choose your seed carefully. What you plant is going to grow, right? These are the things that you can give your kids. You can sow love and faith and hope into them. You can sow the word of God into them. Amen. Don't just wait for your kids to go to Sunday school. Amen. I think, Danny, you're another example of you teach your kids and your grandkids. You teach them the word of God. Hallelujah. And you know what? We can tell. When they ask the questions downstairs, guess who's got his hand up? Mm-hmm. Because Papa's been investing in those kids. Hallelujah. And there is a promise that when they're old, they will not depart from it. So your labor in the Lord is never in vain. Amen. Everybody here? Amen. This is not just for the ladies. It's for all of us. All right. So now I want to finish with this. This is something I finish with just about every year that I thought, well, it's near and dear to me, and I think you'll appreciate it. My mom gave me a booklet entitled A Mother's Love. I don't know if you got one too, Bruce, but in it contained a section where my mother filled in the blanks. And here are a few things she wrote. Number one, a message I gave my children often, and she had to use this often, behave yourself. Be a good boy. You know, so it's not just behave yourself, but be a good boy. A positive, right? Do this. You know, if we focus on doing what God tells us to do, we don't have time for the bads and the don'ts. Live your life in a positive way, right? As the word of God is positive. Hallelujah. Something I wish I told them. Your father and I are glad we had you. Well, I hope that's true. I believe it is. Your father and I are glad we had you. This is something I wish I told them. Okay, number three, the best advice I gave my children. Make the world a better place for others. Yeah, isn't that what we're called to do? We're supposed to be salt and light. We're supposed to let our works so shine, our good works, or amen, before men, that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. We're supposed to be living out loud for Jesus, amen? People should look at our lives and say, now that is a true child of God. That is a true Christian. Amen? If they were to put us up in a lineup, amen, would they be able to convict us, amen, and point out, yeah, that's the Christian right there. And how do they know that? Because of the way that we lived our life before the world. Amen? Not only what we said, but how we lived. And what we said, we lived. And what we lived, we also said. Amen. You have authority to speak truth if you're living truth. And your message will have impact because you're living by example. How many can remember before you were a Christian people that were truly following God? Do you know anybody? Did you know any Christians that were? I don't know if everybody can raise their hand in here about that. But I've asked students, I've asked young people who are still in school today. I said, well, how many, you know, they may have, I don't know, 500,000 in their student body. I'll say, how many here are, you know, how many in your school are really living for God? And they're kind of like, yeah. I'm talking about one hand. They're having trouble filling up one hand with students that are actually living for Jesus Christ and being an example in their schools. And guys, I did this in New York. I've done this in different places. And I'm finding a pattern here that a lot of our young people are just like the world. And we are supposed to be ambassadors representing the Lord. Do you know we can change that? We can repent and say, that's it. I'm no longer going to conform to the pattern of this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Amen. I'm going to discover the heart and the will of God through the Word of God and by the Spirit. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be an influencer in my school. I'm no longer going to bow down to what the crowd is doing. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. How many know that people that stand up for Jesus may not be liked by the world? You may even be hated by the world, but I'll tell you one thing. The world will respect you. The world will respect a person who stands up for what they believe in. And we're seeing that, some of that going on even now, playing out in our politics. Well, you got some godly men and women that are up there. There's not a lot, but there's a few. And we see God intervening right now in that whole situation. He's shaking things up. He's exposing things right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And they're just beside themselves with anger because their agenda is getting messed with. Because God is intervening in our nation. Amen. Praise God. Let's pray and let's believe and let's hold up, amen, our political leaders. Don't criticize them, but pray for them. Amen. That God will have His influence there and that things can be changed around. I am praying, guys. Lord, I pray for justice. Because He's a God of justice. He's a God of mercy, but He's a God of justice. Amen. And we can pray that the Lord will intervene. Amen. And if these people are reprobate, God, remove them from office. If they can be redeemed, Lord, save them. Amen. But if not, replace them with somebody who's godly or at least righteous. Amen. That live by the principles of the Word of God. That's what we need. Hallelujah. And you know what? It begins with you and me. It starts with us being an example as individuals. It's easy when we're in a group setting, when we're around other Christians. But there's times when we're not and we're out there on our own. How many know that God's grace is sufficient for you? God's power is available to you. God can make all grace abound to you so you can be the head and not the tail. You can be the light, amen, and not part of the problem, but part of the solution. Let your light so shine. And now the most valuable thing I gave my children, Christ. The most valuable thing you can give your children is Christ. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? And what can you give in exchange for your soul? You can give your children all the toys, all the stuff, all the best that life has to offer. But if their soul is not saved, it's all in vain. We need to make sure our children are born again, that they're saved. And that, amen, we're sowing into their lives now while they're young, getting the Word of God into them, taking the time, amen, even to sacrifice maybe some of the things I want to do so I can have some quality time with my kids, amen, investing in them. And I want to raise up men and women, amen, of God. Hallelujah. I don't want them to be part of, amen, this world. I want them to be a kingdom dweller, amen, and know who they are in Christ and be a world changer. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. And if you have Christ in you, then you are an influence in this world. You just need to yield to Him and allow Him to work, amen, through your life. Be a vessel for God. Lord, I thank You for the help that You give us. I thank You that You assist us, Lord, to represent You and to speak even on Your behalf. Lord, I realize that it's not of us, but it's of You. Lord, I pray that my brothers and sisters will discover in their identity who they are, God, in Christ, that we will know who You are in us and who we are in You. God, I pray that You'd fill each one of us with the knowledge of the will of God in Christ. And God, that we will be about, Lord, doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the devil, doing the works that Jesus did, being a light in the darkness, being salt of the earth, Lord. Father, we pray that You would empower us and influence us by Your Spirit, Lord, that our lives will be saturated with the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah, Lord, that our hearts will be filled, with the Word of God, Lord, that Your Word we will hide in our hearts that we might not sin against You. Oh, God of gods, I pray that You would create in us hunger and thirst for Your presence, for Your righteousness, Lord, alone. Hallelujah. God, I pray that You would strengthen each one of us with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. Father, I pray Your fire to fall. Purify Your people and set our hearts on fire for You, Lord. Give us holy passion to glorify the Lord. Almighty God, we are here for You. And I ask You today, brothers and sisters, just once again, it's something to do every day, but just You want to commit yourself once again. You've heard the message today. I want to encourage you to commit yourself to be a doer of the Word and not a hearer only. Amen. And lift your hands and say, Lord, I want to do Your will. Dear Lord Jesus, I ask You to give me the strength to live for You every day. Draw me to You. Set my heart on fire and use me for Your glory in this world. I want to be a world changer for You. Hallelujah and amen. Thank You, Jesus.